Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
EPA and the Army considering a narrower test for determining which streams and wetlands qualify as federally regulated waters, potentially reducing Clean Water Act jurisdiction over some intermittent features that affect farms and ranches. Supplemental proposal would generally define relatively permanent waters as perennial, meaning standing or continuously flowing every day under ordinary conditions. Now, a predictable dry period of up to 30 consecutive days could still qualify for producers. The distinction could affect permitting around drainage features, wetlands, and other waters. A feature routinely dry for roughly 90 days every year would not meet the proposed perennial standard. Agencies also considering a stricter continuous surface connection test for wetlands as they implement the Supreme Court's 2023 Sackett decision, which rejected the broader significant nexus approach. Nothing changes immediately. It's a supplemental proposal, and EPA is set to accept comments for 30 days after publication in the Federal Register. Imported lean beef may already be trading at roughly the discount President Donald Trump cited, suggesting the 25% figure reflects existing market prices rather than a guaranteed reduction in retail beef cost. University of Missouri livestock economist Elliot Dennis says domestic 90% lean trim trading near $460 per hundredweight compared with about $361 for imported lean trim. He says that puts the imported product roughly 25% below the domestic values. Dennis says lean imports serve a specific role in the beef system. Packers can blend imported lean trim with lower value fatty domestic trim to produce ground beef, helps increase the value of material already coming from U.S. cattle. Bigger concern, though, may be timing. Dennis says industry has long understood the role of lean imports, but a concentrated 90-day increase, well, that gives cattle producers and markets less time to adjust than a more predictable long-term strategy. USDA planning a new annual review showing how crop forecasts changed during the growing season and how those estimates compared with final numbers. It's part of a broader effort to rebuild producer confidence in ag statistics. Crop season and review report will compare estimates and forecasts issued throughout each season with final estimates and identify the data sources used. USDA will begin by preparing retrospective reports for the 2024 and 2025 crop season. The department also plans to publish performance measures, validation results, and lessons learned from major modernization pilots. Methodology and quality documentation for important statistical releases, well, they'll continue. U.S. grain transportation demand is strengthening ahead of harvest, but higher rail premiums, tariff increases, and fuel costs could add pressure to basis and producer returns as larger volumes move through the system. Class 1 railroads originated over 27,000 grain carloads during the week that ended August 22nd, up 12% from last year, 26% above the three-year average. And shuttle bids in September averaging $638 per car above tariff, sharply higher than both the prior week and last year. This is Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
We're exclusively on the international side, furthering the exports of U.S. corn, barley, sorghum, ethanol, and distillers' grains.
Brian LeGrand is CEO of the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council.
Very focused on ethanol and distillers' grains, those value-added products where we create value here in the United States, create the jobs here in the United States, and export that value to the world.
On record exports.
The last 3 years, we've set records. This year, we're going to export about 2.35 billion gallons. And when you count Japan, who's taking our ethanol in the form of ETBE, that's about a 200 million gallon equivalent. So by the end of this marketing year, at the end of August, we will have exported over 2.5 billion gallons as a nation to the world.
So what are the priorities?
We work in 70 countries worldwide, but we've got to prioritize that, and especially when it comes to ethanol. People, different countries are in various stages of where they are in seeking a better and cleaner fuel for their nation and for their citizens. So priority markets include Canada, Mexico, Colombia is a big customer of ours as well. Japan is going to be coming on very soon. Then over to Southeast Asia, we're working extensively in Vietnam, in the Philippines, and in Indonesia. But we're also working in some of these smaller markets that are, you know, Nigeria, looking to expand into Central America. Guatemala just recently passed an E10 standard, and actually tomorrow, August 22nd, they will start blending E10 for the first time ever. So we expect growth in throughout Central America, starting with Guatemala.
And what about Japan?
We've always done ETBE, but they're in 2030, they're going to go to an E10 direct blend. And they've always split up their purchases between us and Brazil. That's just how they operate. But I think, you know, with our cost advantage, with our reliability of shipments, we're going to get the lion's share of that business when they go to an E10 market. And that is when they go nationwide, the rollout will take some time. But that's a billion gallon market just by itself. And I think we could get upwards of 70% or even higher there. And then in Nigeria, I mentioned them earlier, you know, at E10, that's a 300 million gallon market. Next month in September, we're going to start a trial there with their government and with their national refinery system on E10 to kind of get them started. They did it a long time ago, but they had some real issues because people started blending 50% ethanol into old cars, and that actually didn't work too well. We're going to do it measured in a calculated manner this time. We're going to get it right and hopefully get that 300 million gallon market.
And Mexico.
We had E10 there in Mexico in 2018, and it was struck down by the Supreme Court, not on the merits of ethanol, but on a technicality or a loophole that their government took to pass the regulation faster. So the last 8 years, we've had zero movement under the previous president. They now have a president, Claudia Sheinbaum, who is supportive of ethanol, has written papers advocating for ethanol. She's a believer in it. She knows the benefits. And so we think we've got a little bit of momentum. Think that there are new possibilities for blending in Mexico. And if they, you know, are able to pass a new regulation for E10, that's 1.3 billion gallons. So you go back to Japan at a billion gallons. You go to Mexico at 1.3. 2.3 billion gallons to two countries. Remember, we're exporting about that quantity today to 60 countries. So very exciting times ahead, especially when you start thinking about these large markets.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
$7.5 billion a day. We've had some days we're borrowing $8 billion, some days we're borrowing $7 billion.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert is the chairman of the Joint Economic Committee in Congress.
Close to $90,000 every second, and yet time after time after time, when I do those presentations around the country, the first hand that goes up is someone that says, I want more money. I want more benefits. I want more this. A few years ago, I did a presentation on the debt and deficit and demographics. Remember, primary driver of our debt is our demographics. I'd love to blame the Democrats. And look, the things they did in the Inflation Reduction Act, now we're still paying the price because you just saw a report come out a couple days ago, what's happening in Medicare Part D and the explosion of some of the costs there. Great. And we've done things also. But it's demographics. We as a country, basically, and the entire industrialized world, we haven't had enough children. We functioned on 30, 40 years without enough children. So think of this. In the next year or two, we will have fewer under 18 than we had 20, 25 years ago, but double the number of 65 and up. God knows, I will be one of them. And some of the reports, I think one I got from Manhattan Institute a couple years ago, was basically saying, for every dollar I will have put into Medicare, I'm going to get about $6, $7 back in spending. Most of Medicare comes from the general fund. This is the reality. Are we allowed to tell the truth about math? Or is at this moment you have someone on the blog saying, oh, I'm going to just make crap up about math because it hurts my feelings. It's not about feelings. It's what comes off of a calculator. So let's actually walk through a little bit more there. Estimated annualized cost of refinancing. This is something that's really important. If you can't convince the debt markets that we're credit worthy, that we belong having lower interest rates, all this has to be refinanced. And we're refinancing it now at higher interest rates. This is what we were borrowing before when you were back. Remember in 21, during parts of COVID, or even a bit after the, 2008 financial debacle, interest rates stayed very low. And we spent and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed. Guess what? We have to refinance them now. And now often we're refinancing things that were coming in at 0.5%, 1%, and now we're coming in at 5%, 4.5%. Remember, today's 10-year bond hit, 4.8 today? And the bond futures, if you actually go and look at it right now, are predicting over 5% by the end of the year. On the 10-year, you do realize what that means. That means over 7% mortgage rates on a 30-year debt. Anyone care? And look, do you see the light purple compared to the darker purple? All I'm trying to show you there is most of that future financing is driven by interest, not the actual debt. So the CBO number for 2036, 9 budget years from now, and I'm going to show you the number that CBO gave us back in February is wrong because of interest rates moving up. But back then, in February, the number was, hey, in 2036, 9 budget years from now, you'll have a $3.1 trillion debt. 2.1 of it was just interest. $1 trillion was actual structural deficit. What happens in a world where the primary driver of your debt is actually paying the interest on previous spending? And the moral question I want you to think about is borrowing a tax hike. Seriously, we've spent money. We've obligated now to pay interest on it. We're pulling that cash out of the economy so it doesn't go into investment of you buying a house or a new business or those things. Is it a tax hike? I would argue it's a tax hike with interest. And back to the reality, the primary driver of U.S. debt and the debt from the entire industrialized world is our demographics.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
So for the first time ever, we're going to give farmers and ranchers the right to process their own food.
At a White House event on Friday, President Donald Trump.
We're creating a program where small and medium-sized and large ranchers can sell their products directly to consumers so that they don't have to go through the big four processors and middlemen. But they're not going to be happy when they hear this. I don't know who they are, but they're going to be coming at me at different angles. Will you people please protect me? I'm going to need protection from my NFL guy over there. But it's true. They're going to be very upset about this because they make a lot of money. We're streamlining all health and safety regulations to make it easy and safe. The cattle ranchers and the farmers, you know, they run great operations, clean operations, but then they have to go through hell. And we're going to have very strong safety inspections, as you can imagine. But we're going to have them process their own food if they want. They can go through the other places if they still exist. I don't know if they're going to exist any longer, frankly. But people have been asking for this change for decades, and we're getting it done. This is the largest ever government effort to change all federal rules and regulations necessary to support our ranchers and our farmers. I want to thank Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins and all of the people that we work with, including Zippy Duval, who's been a friend of mine for a long time. Zippy, right?
I got your back, Mr. President.
Did you ever think you'd see the processing thing done, Zippy?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I especially want to thank the farmers and ranchers who feed our nation, from the Great Plains of Texas and South Dakota to the farms and cattle country of California, Arizona, Ohio. A lot of other areas. Under the last administration, American agriculture was decimated by crippling inflation and radical left environmental regulations. They wouldn't let our farmers, our ranchers breathe. Tens of thousands of farms and ranches went bankrupt. They went out of business. Their kids were devastated. The families were devastated under Biden. And they did badly under Obama, too. Our cattle herd fell to 86 million, the lowest level in 75 years. We're building it up now, but it fell all the way down to 86 million, way, way below what it was during my administration. At the same time, the livestock industry has been ripped off by a meatpacking monopoly, which we're probably taking care of, I think, pretty well today, driving down what ranchers earned. They were charging them numbers that were unsustainable. And 2019, if you take a look at it, the worst farm year in the history of our country, they're saying, where they lost $90 billion, was in 2023. And it was, they say, what do I know, a year like no other. Was it a tough time, right? Tough time. But under the Trump administration, all of that is changing. We cut crop insurance premiums by more than $400 million. We eliminated the death tax on when you die, you leave your farm to your children, you don't have a tax to pay. Sure. Saving 2 million family farms. You feel good about that, right? Yes. You want to leave them to your kids?
Thank you.
If you like your kids, you leave. If you don't like them, then you don't care about what I just did. They have no more estate tax to pay. So, and it's my honor. That was a terrible thing, especially for the farmers, because, you know, sort of land rich and cash poor. You have that beautiful land, you want to keep it, but it's not necessarily the cash to go along with it. You don't have to worry about it.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Exports have been great.
Jeff Cooper is president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association.
U.S. ethanol has been attractively priced versus Brazilian ethanol for quite a while. Last year, we were just under 2.2 billion gallons exported, which was a record. It's 2.18. Right now, 10 months of the marketing year gone, I think we were at 1.97 something, which is about 200 million gallons a month. So that puts us at 2.4 by the end of the year. Which the end of the year is, that marketing year is the end of this month. So it's going to be interesting to see what that ends up being. But I would guess it'll be that way. In the near future, I don't know what will happen because we used to be quite a bit cheaper than Brazil. And for the last few months, we've been at parity. And I think right now we're about 7 cents more. So I don't know how that translates. But I know that when we go out to other countries and talk to people, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when we talked to Canada, they had some environmental regulations that advantaged us because we don't ship it as far and that sort of thing, so it's not all cost. Got to go to Japan with the Grains Council in December, and they're starting to use more ethanol where they've always just used ETBE. India a few years ago. So there's other countries around the globe that I think are seeing ethanol's advantage as a way to meet their climate goals affordably. I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways to meet your climate goals, but, you know, people have to be able to afford it. And so, you know, higher blends is happening in a lot of places. It needs to happen more here. You know, we need to have the E15 stuff done so there'd be the people covering all the policy things. But as far as exports go, I think, you know, hopefully that keeps going because I think we're only scratching the surface right now. 2.4 billion is a lot, but, you know, it's still a pretty small percentage of fuel being used around the world.
What about the recent announcement of expanded access in California?
Well, I mean, they've been doing it for a while now. I think one of the problems that we're seeing around the Midwest right now is that even though you can buy, I mean, there were times last month when I saw rack prices for E85 at like, I saw it once at 26 cents a gallon. When you add the taxes onto that, it was like probably 60 cents. And then I go to a station, and it's in Sioux Falls, go to a station and it's over $3 a gallon. And that's frustrating because we have an opportunity with E85 to show the difference between what the fuel costs and what gasoline costs. And if nothing else, I mean, even if you can't use E85, knowing that there's a fuel out there that you could buy for, I mean, you got places that, you know, selling it for a buck and a half. And, you know, there's one in St. Ansgar, Iowa, that I think was 119. And I don't expect everybody to do that. I'd like marketers to be able to make some money, because they like products that they make money on. But if they were, I mean, you take somebody selling at $1.79, $1.99, they're making a lot of money. I mean, today I think I used our calculator that we have at the flexfuelforward.com site. And I think in Omaha, the price for it with taxes was $1. So if you're $1.99, that's a nice margin, but you're still, you know, $2.50 worth below gasoline. That should open some eyes. And then if that happens, do you have other retailers say, oh, I should be selling that? Do you have people saying, oh, that's right, I have a flex fuel vehicle? And the beauty of E85 is that, you know, it's usually E70 to E85. And, you know, if you sell a gallon of E15, it has 5% more gas than most people buy, because pretty much everybody buys E10. So you gain a little bit when you sell E15. A gallon of E70 has 14 times that much new or ethanol volume, raw ethanol. I mean, in California, the beauty of that thing is it's all, in California, it has to be 85%. So instead of getting 5% more, you're getting 75% more.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The U.S. economy is basically estimated to be about $32 to $33 trillion. Right now, we're close to $33 trillion in publicly sold debt. That's when we sell it to your pension plan, sell it to your retirement account, sell it to a nice family on the other side of the world, sell it to another sovereign reserve bank.
Chairman of the Congressional Joint Economic Committee is a representative from Arizona, David Schweikert.
But if you do also the internal borrowing, when we borrow money from the trust funds, we have to pay it back with interest. The rest of the world actually calculates their debt that way. When you hear us say, well, we're only at 101 or 102% of debt, that's publicly sold debt, not debt we owe. We're at 127% right now. Nine budget years, 162%. Now, why that should set off alarm bells? Understand, when you pay your taxes on your income, here's what we call the FICA tax. This is your payroll tax. This is the Social Security tax. This is your Medicare tax. This is the unemployment tax. This is disability. Those are designated for certain uses. The other part of your income tax, the corporate income tax, tariffs, excise taxes, those things are over here. If I say I segregate the things that are going to your function of your retirement and your unemployment, segregate those. Of the other types of taxes this year, 29% will just pay interest. This year, in nine budget years, 10 years from now, 2036, almost half of non-payroll taxes. Once again, your Social Security, your Medicare, unemployment, those things. Almost half of the taxes this country will collect will be just interest. Anyone starting to see the problem? This is what you call interest fragility. This is where you start to burn down. This is where you're chasing your tail, where you're actually having to raise taxes or dramatically cut spending just to be able to cover your bonded indebtedness. How many care? Well, the bond market finally has woken up and is starting to care. So let's actually walk through this next one. If this doesn't scare you half to death, you aren't listening. So we took a look. AEI did a model. Columbia, University of Minnesota, the Penn Wharton budget model, basically built models saying, hey, when you hit this level of debt to the size of your economy, the interest you're producing makes it so you hit a death spiral. You basically, their models crash. We have models crashing at 154%. Do you remember the last chart I just showed you? Or two charts ago, saying in nine budget years, you actually have 2036 over 160% of debt to GDP. You already have models saying we've crashed. The economy no longer works. I hope it's wrong, but this, I need you to understand, this isn't decades from now. This isn't your great grandkids are going to figure out how you screwed, what you handed them. This is now. This is in the next decade. What the hell's wrong with us? So let's save that here. Because this is the point I'm trying to make. This is here safe. We basically have enough cash flow to cover our interests and our obligations and still be a decent credit risk. But when you start to hit 2035, you have enough models. Now, how long is 2035 from now? 2035, you're basically walking into what's technically referred to as a crisis zone. That's when any damn thing, something goes wrong in the other side of the world. We have a hurricane. We have an earthquake, this and that. The credit markets, the debt markets start to get nervous, start to raise our costs. You remember that joke you've heard over and over? How'd you go bankrupt? Slowly at first and then suddenly very fast. Understand how bad these numbers are. And in 2050, we're basically what referred to as the default zone.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.